Okay. It's been a really tough year. Okay, I don't, you know, there's no doubt about it. Whether you were very good at being on your own or not very good at being on your own, or it's just been a tough year. And I think we have to acknowledge, don't think we can just pretend it didn't happen and move on. I think there are things that we actually need to process. And it's been tough for individuals, it's been tough for families, I think it's been tough for us as a church. From the statistic David was given, it's obviously been tough for the church global as well. So we need to think about lament. As I said, it doesn't sound terribly cheery talking about lament. I'll tell you what it's not. It's not whining and it's not wallowing in self-pity. It's not, oh, woe is me. When I was teaching, all right, when children whine, I'm sure all of you know this, children whine, and I was really bad because in class I used to go, when they were whining, to them, and it used to drive them mad. I go, now you know how I feel when you're whining, sort of thing. So it's just I think sometimes God feels a bit like that with us, that we're just whining on about something. There's a lot about lament in the Bible, and it's not just Lamentations, which is about lament for the destruction of Jerusalem. There's about 40 Psalms that are actually about lament. One of the activities I was going to give the teens was to go through the Psalms and see if they could work out which ones, but I thought, it's a bit like school, really, so instead we've given them a tenner and they've gone up the shops to buy snacks, because sometimes that's just what you have to do. So what is lament? It's defined as a passionate expression of grief or sorrow or feeling of loss. You know, it's about feeling that we've lost something. And I think for most of us, we do feel a bit that way. It's more than just sounding off at God. Right? You know, oh, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, and this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. It's not just sounding off. Because lament has a purpose. Sounding off is just about sounding off, and often it actually makes us feel worse. But lament has a purpose. Wallowing in self-pity is very easy to do. Well, I find it quite easy to wallow in self-pity, okay? So I'll make it personal rather than just accusing all of you. But it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't have a purpose in itself. The purpose of lament is for us to take our distress to God, right? It's to say, this is bad, but... So that's what the purpose is. It's about being honest about the hurt or the unfulfilled promises that we've had or whatever it is that's distressing us. It's about taking it to God. And to do it properly, we need a way of navigating our lament so that it does help us take it to God. So the reason Dawn's been giving out that bit of paper is because I'm going to use Psalm 13 as a template. Now, the reason lament works is because it takes all of that feelings that we have and turns it to being about our confidence and trust in God. Right, so we don't become overwhelmed whatever the situation is. We use lament to actually take it to build our confidence and trust in God. Its primary purpose, the primary purpose of lament is I'm over here wallowing in what's bad and oh woe is me and I can't and this and the blah, blah. You know, I'm sure you can all do it, you can go on, etc. And actually turn us and taking us towards God and re-establishing our confidence in God. It's saying honestly to God, this is terrible, but I will praise you. I'm better at the whining end than necessarily at the praising end when things are bad. It's really, really, really easy to praise God, to feel really good, to get into the worship and all those sorts of things when things are going well. It's very difficult when things are going badly. I've been staying in a caravan near a friend in Norfolk, and she's waiting for a hip operation. and she is in a dreadful state, and like it takes her 10 minutes to get from like here to the back of the room, etc. And we were talking about the fact that the way pain totally focuses your mind on it. I'm sure those of you that have been in pain will recognize that. That is what actually fills up your head. And I think sometimes when bad things have been happening, that thing fills up your head to the exclusions of others. And what we really need to do is to actually say to God, I'm down, I'm sad, I'm in pain, I hurt, I'm whatever, I'm frustrated, whatever. And actually make room in our heads and our hearts for God to come in and do something about it. It's not praise for the bad situation, not praise, oh Lord, I'm really pleased X, Y, and Z's gone wrong in my life. It's not that, that's not what it's about. Or triumphalism, you know, this is, I can't think of a way of describing it, but you know how sometimes there's this and it's really happening. You can't say, it's not happening. You can't say, I'm not in pain. It's not triumphalism. It's not actually denying what's going on. It's actually about using praise of defiance, praising God for who he is and what he has promised. He doesn't always promise that life will be perfect and life will be good, but he does promise that he is constant and he loves us and he has our best interests. There's lots of things that we've got to lament. I've got things in my life. There's things like being single is something that I lament. I've gone past the stage now of ranting and raving about it. It's just, you know, but it's still there, things. There's lots of things that go on. Andy and Phil, there's deep hurt as far as the church is concerned. Some of the people that haven't come back after COVID. All these things can cause us pain and loss and regret and sorrow and all those sorts of things. But I don't think lament is a very British thing, yeah, when you think about it. A passionate expression of grief, yeah. I don't do passion. I can go off on the little rant sometimes, but passion isn't really something. I'm a sort of person rather than a person, and passion doesn't seem. Passionate expression of anything that really deeply touches us is not something that we naturally indulge in. You might be wrong. You may be very passionate. I don't know, sort of thing. But I think we're very British. You know, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. You know, but really inside you go, etc. You know, it's a very British reaction. I don't know whether it's a cultural British reaction and other nations are different. I don't know, sort of thing. But I just feel that as Brits, we're not particularly good at it. So what we're going to do is we're going to use Psalm 13 as a sort of template to go through to teach us how to lament and how to lament well. So that in fact all our pain and hurt and regrets and sorrows in a sense go somewhere rather than just sitting there festering. When we're working with the kids, we often talk about things that come in as tiny little things but then take root and grow into massive trees. And now sometimes it's easier to get rid of the little thing than it is to get rid of the massive tree. And I think with some of us, some of the things that we need to lament about, we've allowed to grow and fester within us, sort of thing. So it's got four steps and it's not original. When you Google it, if you Google it, you will see that it's actually a pattern that's used a lot for dealing with lament. So it would be really useful if somebody be willing to stand up and just read through Psalm 13. Anybody happy? Yeah, well done.
How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my faults, and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And foes will rejoice when I fall. but I trust in your opinion. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
So you can see at the bottom where we're going with this, there's like four steps in it. Come to God, tell God, ask God, trust God. So, first one, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? He feels distant from God. Just to give you some context, this is about David, and it's not been going well. He's losing his battles. Basically, he's been told he's going to be king, and it's been going on for ages, and he's not getting anywhere, etc., etc. So that's sort of the context of where David was feeling. So this is where it starts. He says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? He's feeling distant from God, but he's telling God about it. He's coming to God. He's turning to God. And often we feel distant when there's tough circumstances going on. And you may have waited a long time for a resolution of something. And it's difficult to believe that God is listening. I hate waiting, okay? I have never been in a queue where I haven't decided I don't need whatever it is I was queuing for, okay? I will drive miles to avoid queuing in traffic. I am not a patient person, and I do not like waiting for things. I will convince myself whatever it is. We were having a discussion about that as to whether you would queue for petrol or not, and my view was no, I don't think I would queue for that. I do realise I don't have to get to work now anymore, and etc. And I worked out that the only person I have to get to is my mum, and if push came to shove, I can get a bus from my house, sort of thing. But yeah, I don't do queuing. I don't do waiting very well. But all of us have had to do a lot of waiting recently. There's been a lot of not being able to do things, And I think sometimes some situations are so tough that we don't think that God's listening to us. And that makes it very difficult because we know in our heads that God cares, but sometimes what we're feeling gets in the way of actually believing that. We think that God's not listening to us. The first thing you have to do in lament is you have to actually come to God. That is the first thing. And if you don't come to God, then you're just whining, yeah, when you're going on about it, yeah, sort of just whining on. So, verse 2, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long, David, waiting? Not winning his battles, hiding in caves and all those sorts of things, etc. This is the crux of lament. You bring your complaint to God. You tell him exactly what it is that's causing the pain, distress or sorrow. David laid his complaint out before God. He made it clear and it was obvious. He wanted out of the situation now, okay? Day after day, I have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? I don't want him to triumph over me anymore. I want you to sort it out now, God. That was basically what his complaint was. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. We can look at the Psalms and go, yeah, but God was teaching him about character and maturity and all those sorts of things. David didn't know that. As far as he was concerned, he was losing the battle and God wasn't listening to him because he was a long way away and he was complaining about it. Yeah, we can look with hindsight about what was going on, but he had a complaint and he was bringing it to God and he was laying it out clearly. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Sometimes we expect God to move when we haven't really been clear with God about what it is we're expecting him to move about. Yeah, we sort of do this general whining life, not blah, 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 and not be absolutely clear. We need to tell God what the problem is. Verses 3 and 4. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. This is where we ask God. We're asking boldly for God's help. What is it we want him to do? Yeah. We're saying here, you know, this is what's happening. This is what I want you to do. And we are saying, God, we need your help. I don't know about you, but I often wait for God to speak first. Okay. Now, there's a logic to why I think God's... My logic, this is what bit like what's inside my head's like. God knows everything, okay? Therefore, God knows what I want, need, or desire, okay? So, he'll speak to me when he's ready. Yeah? I don't know about... Is that just me? I don't know if that'd be you. I tend to think, you know, God knows everything I need, and therefore, when he's ready, he'll tell me what's going on, etc., etc. But actually, seeking God's help is an act of faith. Right? The fact that we have said we're in this position, we've come to God, we've asked, we've laid it out clearly, actually going to God is an act of faith. It's saying, I know you are there, God. You may feel distance, but I know you are there. I know you can do things. I've seen you answer prayers in the past. Please act now. When God seemed distant to David, he called out to him. He turned towards him, okay? So he didn't turn away from him. He turned towards him, even though he felt distance. Going to God is an act of faith. Sometimes we can feel, like I said, like unremitting sorrow can make a deadly silence because we might moan at God, but we don't turn to God. We don't actually come to him, laying our complaint and asking specifically for what we want him to do. But in lament actually helps us to dare to hope that God's promises are true, that what he said, that when we ask him for his help, that we can rely on the promises it's made. We have to remember that our prayers primarily should be concerned with God's glory, not just our happiness. Right? I've got very clear ideas of what would make me happy. And over the years, I've told God about things that would make me happy quite frequently. And God, because he's been teaching me maturity, etc., has not answered because he doesn't want to do that. And that's been quite a hard journey to go on sometimes for some of, and I'm sure it must be true for other people. After coming to God, telling him our complaint, we need to be bold in asking him to do something about it. And then the fourth bit is about trusting God. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. David had turned to God. He laid out his complaint. He told God what he wanted. But, whatever, even though he'd not heard got an answer, though he had not yet got to the stage where he'd been crowned king and the battles were still being, he was still being defeated in battles, but I trust in your unfailing love. This is the part where we choose to trust God. It's the destination for our lament. All roads leave here. It's part of the prayer language that God has given us to deal with our sorrow. It should move us to renew our commitment to trusting God, to navigate the brokenness of our life and to trust in God's sovereign care. If it doesn't, we're saying, God, this problem is too big for you. You have got no idea what it's been like to live through this pandemic. You've got no idea what it's like to have had broken relationships. You've got no idea, and you can go on with your list. I'm sure you've all got your personal things that you could go through your list. And that we know is not true. To cry is, this is a quote from somebody, I can't remember who, because I didn't write it down. To cry is human, but to lament is Christian. We trust in the promises in God's word. We trust in God's power to deliver. David in this psalm was filled with joy. Yeah, my heart rejoices in your salvation. I trust in your unfailing love for me. When we start to trust God with the things that hurt us and we have faith that he will deliver us from the pain, doesn't necessarily change the situation, but that he will deliver us from the pain, then we move from the situation to trust in God. We have faith that God hears us and knows about it, and they will work it together for our good, even if it doesn't feel like it at the time. Bad stuff happens. How we deal with bad stuff is really a testament to our faith. Now, that sounds very trite, and I have been very bad at dealing with some of the things over time that have happened. With mum being ill and things like that, I think I probably resembled more like a headless chicken than I did a person of faith. But I do remember being in the car and saying, Lord, I trust you and I hand this over to you. And it didn't change the situation one iota, but it gave me more of an ability to be able to cope with it. We will, and if you've gone through life and you haven't experienced pain, well done, okay? I don't believe you, but well done, okay? But lament is our language for living between the poles of the hard life and trusting God's sovereignty and praising him because of it. It turns us towards God when sorrow and pain tempts us to run away from him. So I've written on the bottom, you don't have to use Psalm 13, but if you've got something that you're facing, just remembering, come to God, tell God, ask God, trust God. Those are the four steps. That's the difference between lament and just whining on and banging on about something. It's coming to the place where you are praising God. Anyway, that's how you do lament. David.